Let's draw near to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, in you alone our souls find rest. You are our rock, the one upon whom we depend, the one who is faithful, reliable, has proven so all this year. And Father, as we come to the end of one year and enter the next, we turn to you. We turn to you for rest, for confidence, for assurance, for hope. We seek your love, Father, so we find it in Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize that as years go on, we change. That's what makes it so utterly humbling. We may change, the world may change, but you remain the same. Your word remains the same. Your promises remain the same. Your grace remains the same for your people. And your plan for your church, for the people that you have gathered, remains the same. Father, help us to see such things this evening. Help us to give thanks for them and all that you are for us. And Father, also help us to draw hope, direction, guidance for the year to come from your word through your spirit as it shows us our Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless us in this time together, we pray, in Christ's name alone. Amen. This evening, the focus is going to be on one petition that we find in Paul's prayer in 2 Thessalonians. And in connection with that, we'll read first, though, from another prayer of Paul's, his prayer for the Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. In particular, you'll notice, again, the theme of one of the things that Paul is deeply concerned of, that we would see, that we would grasp, is truly the love of God for us. We find that in those well-known words of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue to sing from Psalm 63. Are we 62? 63. 63 does not have 7 and 4 and 7. So 62 stanzas 4 and 7. We'll continue to sing also again of God's love. He is the strong defender, and that steadfast love is yours, O Lord, in stanza 7. So Psalm 62, stanzas 4 and 7. Let's now turn this evening to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And we'll focus this evening on verse 5. It starts off with Paul's request for prayer and ends with his petition for the Thessalonians. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in just a couple of hours, we'll come to the end of 2025 and we'll ring in the new year, 2026. We're at this point where we say we've made our journey around the sun and we're about to start another one. Of course, when it comes to this journey around the globe, we don't really manage it. It goes at its own pace. We are just sitting put on this earth. We don't have to direct it. We don't have to guide it. It just takes place. The globe spins and moves as God intends it. But as we come to the end of that journey and a major turning point in that journey, it's good for us to reflect on the journey that we have made over the past year, the one that we may have to make in the year ahead. Not just the journey in time, but the spiritual journey that we may say is there for all of us. The fact that we're all walking a certain road, we've all in some way have set a course, a destination where we want to end up. And we've been doing that in this past year, walking, working towards that, if we could. And as we come to the start of a new year, we're likely again thinking about, where is this year going to lead us? And where am I heading? That's the question this evening for us. What direction are you going? And particularly, what is the direction of your heart? What has it been? And where is it going? I think above all, who will be directing it? So look at that prayer, that petition this evening under that theme of directing our hearts. So that is what we have, a short prayer of Paul for the Thessalonians. He first asked the Thessalonians, say, pray for me, pray that the gospel may continue to spread, pray too that the opposition of evil men may be hindered with the guarantee that the assurance that God is faithful. He will keep you from the evil one. Now, after speaking of that confidence that he has in the Thessalonians, persevering in the Christian faith, Paul shares his prayer for them. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May the Lord direct your hearts. This picture here is of God who is directing, leading, guiding, inclining a heart. It's not necessarily the most common language or image in the New Testament, but it's occasionally found in the Old Testament. David will pray for something similar for the Israelites at the end of his life in 1 Thessalonians 29:18. He prays there, O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. Desire to give willingly and honestly to the Lord, as they had just been building the temple. And then it says, and keep their hearts loyal to you. Keep guide, direct their hearts loyal to you. It's an image, right, of perhaps like a shepherd guiding, directing sheep. Maybe you have a harbor master directing a ship into harbor. Paul and David both see the importance of praying to the Lord to direct our hearts. And just to be clear here, heart isn't like what we often think of the heart as that seat of emotions or feelings as opposed to maybe our mind and reason and thinking. This is simply, again, the biblical use of referring to the whole person, like all of you, to the inmost of your being, directing you into a direction. Although it's not maybe common language, it's an relatable image, isn't it? The familiar one. Especially maybe if you're a parent, or have been a parent, you know that, well, you could raise your kids, you may can't really change their hearts, but you may try to direct, prompt, guide where you can. And you recognize why it's necessary, because there's strong tendencies to go this way or that way. Sometimes it's just all these different directions, sometimes the wrong ones. That it's hard to set a course and to stick to it. That it's easy to get blown back and forth all the time. Or to go full speed in one direction without concern, really, of where that is heading. Our hearts need direction. But Paul's prayer isn't for just young believers or new believers. Prays for the Thessalonians. We all have hearts that need direction and guidance. We all lose our way. We all get caught up in the strongest wind that is blowing around us. And we all at times want to set our own course because it's our own and not have to think about where that exactly will lead. And we also all at times set out earnestly with direction, with purpose, to only drift off course when the journey is long, or when it's difficult, or when we just lack the motivation, the attention, the focus. Look at the past year. You may notice something like this. You may notice that here we are sitting again, the end of another year, and your faith has been stale, or it may be even backslidden. Faith has become less and less a priority. Or maybe we've just noticed we've fallen deeper and deeper into a pit that we've been trying to steer away from. Maybe it's simply that we come to the end of a year and we're just frustrated because we thought we would be further along. We thought we would be in a different place. We thought things would pan out differently. We had the best intentions. We had direction. I may even notice it. It's been a fantastic year. You're sitting here and you realize, though, that it's very easy when it's good and when things are well to go into those cliffs of pride and self-reliance. Or to realize that when things have been good, but hard, to feel the burden that I don't know if I can do it again this year. Is this the course that I can stick to? You may be thankful for all that the Lord has given you, but wondering where this is going to go. What do we do? And Paul teaches us. He gives us the example. He says, pray. Pray for the Lord to direct your heart. Just as a child needs guidance, so do you. Ask the Lord to show you the way, to direct your heart into the right direction, and set your heart according to his guidance. For the Lord teaches us where he will be directing us. Into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is the course our hearts need. This is where our shepherd is guiding us, leading us. We say these are the safe harbors for our hearts. God's love and Christ's perseverance. First, God's love, literally the love of God, which is again, can mean two different things. Our love for God or God's love for us. Likely, Paul writes that he's thinking of both because they always go hand in hand. So think about that. May the Lord direct your heart into God's love. On an evening like tonight, or as you look over the year, how many of our worries, fears, doubts, anxieties, anger, resentment, temptation, pettiness, vindictiveness, selfishness, lust, greed, pride, ingratitude, idolatry, stealing, hatred, lying, how much of our sin has arisen from a heart that was safe in God's love? And how much of it has arisen from a heart that for which the love of God was distant, unbelievable, limited, forgettable, taken for granted, or simply unimpressive? How often when things were difficult have we taken refuge in the love of God for us? And how often have we gone into our own comforts, our own inventions, or what felt good in the moment? See how important it is and what really this safe harbor is. It's saying, set your course to the love of God. May it be that the gospel is your greatest joy, the most wonderful news, because that is what Paul's getting at, right? God's love for you, that he would so love you that he would send his son to die for all your sins. And he says, when you direct your heart to that, it is a love that is so great that it ennobles you. It brings you to a different understanding of life and its meaning and purpose because you have been loved by the creator of the universe. There's nothing that could be more meaningful, nothing that can give you more security. Regardless of where you're standing on right now or what the year has brought, there's no way that you could have more security to know that you stand in God's love through Jesus Christ. This is why we see this theme and why I pointed to Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul does this again. Saying, guys, one thing that I want you to see, what I want you to know is just God's love for you. That you see all of its dimension and have the power to grasp it. Because so often in our lives, that is the key thing that we lose sight of. It's why Paul makes it so clear that God's love is this incredibly, eternally planned love that before the foundation of the world, in love, he predestined you to be adopted as his children. That it is this love that was costly bought at the redemption of Jesus Christ. And that it is this love that is that wonderful security in the Spirit who is the down payment of your inheritance. So that from beginning of the world to its very end, you have the security of the love of God, the direction, the meaning, the purpose of it. And you know this. Take the time this evening, too, to consider how that's been clear to you again this year. How has God directed your heart into his love in 2025? Or have you seen his goodness? Perhaps goodness in blessings that you weren't expecting, an abundance that you weren't waiting for or counting on. And maybe perhaps what was his nearness? Things have been hard or difficult, but here you are. And you know the Lord has brought you through it. And perhaps it's been his comfort. Comfort in loss, comfort in sadness, in grief. Perhaps it's been his blessing. You've made your plans. You did the work. And the Lord, in his wonderful love to you, make things happen. Perhaps it's just simply his providences. Never simply his providences, but his direction in your life. The things that have happened. Those things that coincidences, everyone says, and yet here you know that this would never have happened unless someone was looking out for you. Someone was directing everything. Someone knew how to get you through, ever on that course of directing you into God's love. And then think, how will that set the course for the year to come? You make plans, you have goals. Maybe it's going to be a very similar year to last year. Maybe it's a year of graduation, of big plans, big changes, a move, who knows? But what is the course, the direction underneath it all? When you are directed into the love of God, doesn't that make you realize what life then may be about? Not about what you want, not what you may accomplish or what you seek, but that you may do all things in love for God that flows from his love for us. That this is what the Lord is calling you to do. That this is what he's directing you in love towards. That there's only one way to find your way through another year. Only one way to find through the goals or the matter, things that you have to do, the tasks that you've taken on, the positions that you're filling. And it's to pray that the Lord will direct your hearts into his love. But this isn't the only safe haven that we're setting our course to and for. May the Lord direct your hearts into Christ's perseverance, or into the perseverance or steadfastness of Christ. Which again, in the same way, more broad and gets us to consider how Christ in his perseverance makes us able to persevere. This, of course, the idea of setting course into the love of God is encouraging. But how can we do so? How can we do so maybe when we're restless? Or when we're weary? When there's opposition? When God's love seems distant, maybe too far to reach, too obscure, too vague for us to find a way. This is where the Lord says, even here, I'll direct you, and I direct you to Christ's perseverance. And first that means to think again this evening of how we know of the perseverance of Christ for us. Christ really is the true and good shepherd. He promises that none of his sheep shall perish. And to that end, we know that he is our king. I mean, he is our priest. He's our prophet in every way. He's our savior, equipped to care for us. He's a perfect teacher and guide. He's our priest, the great high priest who intercedes. He's the king who guards us. And in all of that, he has persevered unto death that we may have that guarantee. That he will persevere until we know the Lord and know him. He will persevere as teacher until we grow in the faith and continue to know our God. He will continue on to present us to the Father, holy and blameless. He'll intercede to that end. And until he has brought us into his kingdom in full, he will fight, he will direct, he will be the king. Through his powerful work, serve the church and all believers. Christ, even at this very moment, perseveres. He perseveres for you. Yes, even as you fail, as you sin, he perseveres. He's a great high priest, as the advocate with the Father. When you are weak and struggling, you have a king who sends aid, who will persevere, who will not give up the fights, who will not stand back. When and we do not know the way. We have the Lord as our guide, who will persevere, who lays the trail. Keep on leading you. And all of our challenges, whatever it may be, we may persevere because we know that the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, will persevere for us. He is faithful, as surely as God the Father is loving. What do you see of Christ's perseverance on an evening like this? Do you see His perseverance in that continual grace for your sins? That He has been a faithful, gracious high priest on your behalf. Have you maybe noticed His protection through darkness and difficulty? Have you seen His perseverance in that He simply has, He has supplied you daily bread and food that you may have enough to keep on this journey? Have you seen His faithfulness in the promises that He's kept to you, to watch over you, to care for you? Have you noticed it? And how in another year, the flame of faith has been burning. You continue to believe through ups and downs, good years and bad. Christ perseveres for you. And you see how that changes again how we go into the new year. Because what will you rely on? We can sit here, we can make our plans, we can say, I can do this, I have my wisdom, I've planned well, I have my strength, my health, I have my own ability, either to make things right with the Lord or to direct my heart, to plan my year. Or will you always direct yourself, your heart to the perseverance of Jesus Christ? See how Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians, simple prayer, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance, brings to mind the kind of journey we face each year and every year, every day. And we need direction into God's love and Christ's perseverance. As we come to the end of one year, what has been your direction? Perhaps even this evening, what is the harbor that you're seeking to dock at? And what will set the course for the new year? When tomorrow comes and you start a new day and you start a new year, what will you be directing towards? What will you be aiming for? Recognize this, that every day, also in the coming year, we'll need the strength and direction for another day to seek, to be directed to God's love and Christ's perseverance. And every day as we set out for our work, our job, our school, at home, whatever it may be, we'll need to do so. And we come back and again check, are we still on course? Every week we'll need to make time to rest and anchor in God's love and Christ's perseverance as we worship together. So that day by day comes, we continue to make the long obedience in the same direction. As Eugene Peterson once called Christian discipleship, the long obedience in the same direction, that same course into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So let us learn to pray every day as we need it. May the Lord direct our hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Amen.